1370, adopt the open and accountable elections policy.
Mr. Fritz.
Thank you. This is something that I've been working on since last July when the mayor told me he's not able to run for re-election because of the time it takes to fundraise and the expenses of our local elections. What I just handed out is a substitute. I'm sorry I didn't get attached to the memos for some reason. So this, as you remember, at the last hearing we had, I said that we would convene a work group to work through the issues that were raised. And so representatives from Common Cause, Osberg, Communities of Colour, Leave of Women Voters, the Auditor's Office, and several council offices participated in that work group. And these documents include the changes that will address the concerns. And so I'd like to ask Christina Nieves to come forward to walk us through those details.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. So I first came before you on November 3rd to hear open and accountable elections. And as Commissioner Fritz said, since then, we have put together a work group and come up with potential solutions to the concerns that were raised during the November 3rd hearing. So what I'm going to do is go through each substantive change. And then if there are questions, we can do that towards the end. So the first is the question of administration. We understand that the auditor's office was unable to administer this program. So we searched for an appropriate administrator, and we landed on the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. The Office of Neighborhood Involvement administers many programs, which include, you know, thorough public involvement process, which is a necessary attribute for administrating this program. So the Open and Accountable Elections program will be housed in the Public Involvement and Best Practices Program within ONI. It will be staffed by a program coordinator and a program specialist, and these two positions will support the Volunteer Oversight Board. And thank you to Commissioner Fish, who is not here today, for recommending this next change. So in the current code, donors may only ask for public match for one candidate per race, which means that donors can still give up to $250 to any candidate, but they may only request matching funds for one candidate per race. And thank you to former Auditor Gary Blackmere for recommending providing more time to set a foundation for this program. So with the amendment before you, the funding will be included for this program in the 17-18 city budget. The program of actually providing matching funds will start in July 2019 for the 2020 elections. Training of potential candidates and their campaign treasurers will be required prior to participating in the program. An additional directive is added to the ordinance clarifying the director of ONI will begin the preliminary implementation process, which includes hiring a consultant to start the administrative rules and construct the commission once the ordinance is adopted. And finally, thank you to Commissioner Novick for raising and helping to solve the following issues, which arise due to the program being staffed in ONI rather than the City Auditor's Office. The first issue is the perceived or actual conflict of interest of the commissioner in charge of ONI, overseeing the structure and administration of the overall program. So the solution we came up with was to require all administrative changes, to be brought before the full City Council for consideration and adoption. And as you know, most changes will come through the Open and Accountable Elections Oversight Board. That is the vehicle we have set up for the program to house changes. The second is the potential conflict of interest for a commissioner in charge of ONI during an election, so when this commissioner is up for election. In that situation, the mayor may appoint another commissioner to oversee the program during the election, providing dual support. And we saw this with the Office of Healthy Rivers, which was housed in the Bureau of Environmental Service. Commissioner Saltzman was in charge of the Bureau of Environmental Services at the time, but the Office of Healthy Rivers reported to both Commissioner Fritz and Commissioner Saltzman. So that was the dual supervision that we hope to model for this program. And finally, if a commissioner in charge of ONI is up for re-election and a complaint is filed, the Open and Accountable Elections Board will have the authority to ask council directly for approval to contract for and appoint an outside investigatory body. And these will all be included in the proposed administrative changes.
Thank you. Is there any questions on those?
I didn't understand that change that Commissioner Fish that you described yet.
Yeah.
You lost me on that one.
Sorry. So a donor can only request for public matching funds for one candidate per race. So they can give
per race. So they can't just give contributions to everybody who's running.
Exactly.
And they get public matching
right.
for those.
They're allowed to give, but only one would be matched. So that Correct. Was the concern is what if people were ganging up on a particular candidate and also I think also to be responsible with public funds.
Right.
What we found with public campaign financing before with voter-owned elections, some good-hearted people gave $5 contributed because they believed in the system and not necessarily understanding that was an impact on public dollars.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Other questions?
So I'd like to move the substitute, and then I understand that Commissioner Saltzman may have an amendment.
Okay, so Commissioner Fritz moves the substitute. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, and we'll... we don't take action on putting the substitute before us, we should, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's take action on the substitute and then on your amendment, or is it better to do both?
Well, I'd like to get the amendment out there and get testimony on it.
I'm
offering this amendment, although I support it, I'm offering it on behalf of Commissioner Fish, and that amendment is to really, refer this item to the voters at the May 16th, 2017 election.
Okay. And I'm willing to substitute. Oh, sorry.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'm willing to second that for the purposes of discussion as a professional courtesy to my colleagues to the left.
Thank you. Thank you. I would just say that, and I believe I speak for Commissioner Fish on this point, too, is I think we're better when we rely on our voters to affect major changes that cost them at their pocketbooks. We've done that we did it with the arts tax. We didn't have to refer the arts tax, but we did. I think we better insulated ourselves as a result from the onslaught of criticisms and attempts to undermine it. We also have done it for the roads just last year, and I think we're better for doing that, especially considering all the criticism we encountered on various incarnations of the street fee. We ultimately submitted something to the voters. I've always ascribed to seeking voter support and believing for funding mechanisms because I believe we're stronger for it. The children's levy has been renewed overwhelmingly three times by asking voters to support it. And I just think we build trust and credibility with our public when we do it that way. And even this issue has been voted on by voters. I can't remember what the year was, but it was probably
2010.
Okay. So even this issue has been before voters. So I think it clearly establishes this is not untrodden ground when it comes to asking voters whether they support it or not. And I tend to think that voters would support this, but I just think that there's a puzzling, baffling fear not to ask for voter support. I think we'd be better off if we did. And I appreciate Commissioner Fritz's putting this together. I think it has a lot of innovation to it. And so I appreciate that. I just think it'd be better if it was to be voted on by our public.
Okay, thank you. So we should take testimony on the substitute and on the other proposed amendment. So we'll see. I think we had a couple of people signed up anyway. So, Christina, thank you. We'll stand by and see if we have other questions for you. Unless you had anything else to add that I cut you
that
off
on. That was it. Thank you.
Okay, good. Thank you. So do we have someone signed up or people
Michael
signed up?
Michael Callahan.
We had some invited testimony as well. Are they still here?
Okay. Oh, and you have invited testimony?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
That's fine. Mr.
Okay,
Callahan,
come on up.
Can give
come
first.
On up and then we'll take the invited testimony. Sorry.
All right, I thank you for the time.
Your name and record, please.
Michael Callahan is my name. I have one question. I just called Jerry today over at Multnomah County because they run the elections. Nobody knows, this is true in every government authority in this country, nobody knows what computer program is put in the computer when the ballots are counted. Will this provide accountability for that process, or will that remain secret?
Good question.
The county oversees the elections, as you say. So our proposal does add some safeguards for protecting public money and transparency of candidate behavior, but it's the election office in Multnomah County that is responsible for the actual counting of them.
Well, I'll take that as a no.
That's not the purpose of this
Well, you know, I have a significant problem with that. As you mentioned, Mayor, our most recent election. Okay, now you'll find this on Facebook that there has been computer fraud committed. We saw when Bush won over Gore in Florida. I was on this in Alaska. I kind of want to say
could
a
you
little,
start the timer, please?
Little thing here for myself, okay? I litigated in 1992 the primary in Alaska. Took me 5 years. First time in the history of the United States an official ballot had been declared illegal. Okay? We had four of them illegal in Alaska. Okay, I started checking in the computerized tabulation. I litigated the 94 election in which three incumbents were thrown out in the House, all of them D's, beaten by R's, one who spent $3,000 on his campaign. The head of the Data Processing Review Board said that Sequoia Pacific refused their test decks. They insisted they ran their test decks. They found an error in the computer program that would have allowed ballots cast for one candidate to have been counted for another. I litigated that. The judge wouldn't do anything after a year and a half. Legislature had already met. New election cycle. I quit, okay? The fix is on. Okay, and I think we saw that with this last election. Okay, I want there to be a way to confirm that these votes are being accurately counted, and if we don't know what computer program goes in the computer, just like taking your ballot and stuffing it in a box behind a door and somebody yells out what the results are, it is unacceptable. Please. Put that in there so Multnomah County, people at Peace, Portland State can write a computer code to check ballots. Anybody can. Please secure our democracy. It is not secure now. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, and you had some invited
Yes, if the folks who were invited, if you'd like to come up, please. I'm not sure who's still here, and I appreciate you your patience.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Waiting. Come on up if you want. All right, who would ever like to go first?
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales, commissioners. For the record, my name is Kate Titus. I'm here on behalf of Common Cause and also on behalf of a coalition of over 30 local organizations representing Portland's diverse communities and community public interests. Thank you for your responsiveness on this issue that's of growing concern to so many of our communities here in Portland. Briefly, I just want to affirm the strength of this ordinance and the proposed amendments that are before you here today. So first, with regard to the policy as a whole, I want to point out that open and accountable elections is based on a well-tested model already operational in several other communities. Since others have pioneered this, Portland will not be charting unknown territory. There's already an established body of expertise that has been informed this ordinance and will guide rulemaking and implementation. Moreover, this policy has already proven itself as a tool to achieve three outcomes that we're seeking here in Portland. One, to increase and diversify community participation in elections, which I would say then adds to community trust in our elected government. Two, to support a broader candidate pool and more representative government. And three, to make it possible for any candidate to opt out of big money politics if they choose. So with regard to the specific amendments before you, we're supportive of the proposed amendments worked out in recent weeks to address oversight and administration of the program. First, we're comfortable with ONI housing this program. There may come a point where the commission chooses to revisit this, a point at which it could make sense to move administration to another location, such as the auditor's office or even the state elections division. However, for the immediate startup and foreseeable future, we believe that housing the program under ONI provides advantages, particularly for launching an effective community oversight commission. I also want to affirm the specific solutions proposed to address potential conflicts of interest related to placing oversight and administration of the program at ONI. To be clear, we would have to insulate against conflicts of interest regardless of where the program is housed. Oversight of all aspects of our election system across the country, not just in Portland, is generally handled by elected public servants. So we can't completely avoid this issue, but instead we need to take steps to insulate against specific conflicts of interest created by any given arrangement. In this case, we believe that smart precautions have been identified. By engaging a community board in the process of identifying and making any changes to the program and requiring all the administrative rules to be brought before the full commission for consideration, you create a healthy process for public input and transparent deliberation and limit the authority of the commissioner who's in charge of ONI. Likewise, providing dual oversight of the open and elections program within ONI during an election where the commissioner in charge of ONI is running for election provides a good safeguard to protect ONI staff independence. In addition, a board that could also appoint, the board could also appoint an alternative investigative body to replace ONI open and accountable election staff, as was mentioned by Christina. And that's something I think also adds to this. So lastly, I would like to just briefly touch on three other priorities that I think I hope we don't lose sight of in the implementation, provided we are able to go forward with this program. One, I think all of us here are committed to find a way to ensure that all Portland residents, if they're eligible under state and federal law to contribute to political candidates, should be allowed and encouraged to participate in this system by having their campaign contributions matched up to the first $50. This includes even those who are not registered to vote or who are legal residents but not yet citizens. We want to welcome all Portlanders to have a voice in the democratic process. As yet, we've only identified the voter files as a means to verify people's authentic eligibility. We'll need to identify one or more additional methods to ensure full inclusivity within the bounds of the law. And I believe that we can work that out during the implementation process. Two, the current proposal provides that a single donor can give a match contribution to no more than one candidate, as was just discussed. I believe that what's really at stake here is that those contributors who have a greater capacity to give more than $50 shouldn't be able to tap public funds for unlimited gifts to multiple candidates. However, in principle, if a single contributor wanted to split their $50 between two candidates, or even $20, giving 10 to one and 10 to another, I think that is within the democratic spirit that's intended and shouldn't be discouraged. So while I'm not suggesting that we delay the bill to address this issue, I do suggest that this is an adjustment that should be discussed and worked out during the implementation process. I would just remind us all to not forget the importance of making sure that this program is intuitive and easy to understand for candidates and contributors alike. To that end, it will be important during rulemaking and the startup to make sure that all systems and materials are clear and accessible and that there's a well-developed candidate training and public education component in place as an integral part of the program. I would just address one other point that was brought up earlier by Commissioner Saltzman's and Commissioner Fish's recommendation to bring this to the voter. While certainly we have no objections to the voters voting on any measure, it is a more costly procedure to run a ballot measure campaign. And so, I mean, what's normative is for government leaders to act on behalf of the population. We use ballot measures as an extra means for voters to bring things forward when we feel like it's not being brought forward by our representatives, or it's a general large mandate, and then we want legislators to work out the details. So I see nothing wrong with leaders working out the details of a complex problem like this and actually providing the leadership that we're calling for. I would hope that you would all move forward today with this and would not draw this out for multiple years and great expense to all involved to have a protracted ballot campaign. If that's where it ends up, you know, I believe that the voters will certainly lead on this as well. But we call today for your leadership.
Thank you very much, and thank you for all your partnership and guidance on this process. You've been integral to the process.
Thank you.
Thanks, Commissioner Fritz. Good afternoon, Mayor Hales, Commissioners Saltzman, Fritz, and Novick. I'm Serena Cruz. I come to you today as a mom, a Sabin neighbor, and a former candidate for Portland City Council, and I'm here to show my support for open and accountable elections. I don't think that taking big donations from people means that you listen to them more, But what I like about open and accountable elections reform is that it treats everyone like a big donor, so that even small donations have a big impact. And it does it all within our existing ways of campaigning. Under this system, you still need to make your case to both donors and voters. You still need remits, a website, house parties, and yes, you'll still dial for dollars. But now, under the new program, every donation counts. When every donation counts, so does every perspective. Candidates are freer to think about a broader set of issues, to hear from more of Portland, in particular on those who are underrepresented in city council, women, people of color, LGBTQ folks, and East Portlanders. To that goal of engaging underrepresented Portlanders, I have a recommendation for the proposal. I think that requiring candidates to file only by petition by collecting 100 signatures is an unnecessary barrier, in particular to candidates committed to engaging new parts of the electorate. If I'm trying to engage voters for the first time who typically don't participate in Portland elections, it seems a little backwards to me. I imagine first trying to explain to folks that I'm running, and then that I need their signature right now, but that I'll come back and hope that they will support me with a donation that will be matched. It seems like it's a hurdle not worth going through, and one that disadvantages potential voters that don't already know their way around elections. I'd rather see a candidate be able to file by fee if they want, head straight into engaging new donors without complicating the message further. As you all know, a complicated message can sow distrust, and distrust is at the heart of our problems today. I'm excited to see so many new voices come together, shaping and supporting this proposal. Now more than ever, I can think of no stronger statement than a unanimous city council saying that our voices matter, not just on the city's advisory committees and task forces, but alongside you, helping to make Portland a better place from the highest decision-making table we have, our elected city council. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Hi. My name is Iris Hodge. I'm here representing Main Street Alliance of Oregon. Thank you, Mayor Hales and commissioners, for letting me speak on this very important issue today. I'm here to represent Main Street Alliance of Oregon. We are a coalition of over 3,000 small business owners across the state, with nearly 1,000 in Portland. We bring forward the voices of Oregon's small business owners on key public policy issues. I also wanted to thank Commissioner Fritz for your leadership on this issue. We're excited to be working on this. Main Street Alliance of Oregon supports the adoption of the Open and Accountable Elections Initiative because it will provide opportunities for more diverse candidates to run for office and represent their communities. This effort would encourage more small business owners, women, people of color, young people, people from immigrant communities, to run for office and engage with their elected officials. Currently, our democracy is out of balance. Wealthy donors and corporate interests continue to influence our elections and our local policy conversations. Candidates are forced to spend more time raising money from a small group of wealthy individuals and special interest groups. Candidates have less time to spend engaging with their everyday constituents. Open and accountable elections can change how candidates campaign because small donations from everyday Portlanders are matched. Candidates have an incentive to spend more time engaging with people of all backgrounds, such as small businesses, students, renters, people of color, seniors, and working people. Therefore, MSA Oregon urges you to adopt open and accountable elections.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thanks very much. Do you have some other invites?
I didn't know. Did anybody else want to testify?
All right. Then let's take action then first on your package of amendments.
First on the substitute, right?
Yes, on adopting the substitute, and then we'll take action on the amendment that you introduced, Dan, on behalf of Commissioner
Fish. Then we vote again at the end, right?
Yes, on the agenda itself. Does it have to get set over?
Past the second reading, that's right. Yes, thank you for keeping us on track here.
Yeah, we can't amend and adopt on the same day. Okay, so let's take action first on your substitute, Commissioner Fritz.
Novit.
I'll give a, big fat speech about how great this is when we pass it. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, again, I want to state my great gratitude for everybody who's been involved in this. Commissioner Novick, Commissioner Fish have made it better. And I was kind of surprised to read in the media that they thought I had traded votes. If I was going to do that, I would have held out for Tim Raines and the Hall of Fame, because that was a hard one for me, but I got there. So, you know, obviously I've been working on this as part of the system for 11 years. And it's a really good day. Thank you very much for Christina Nieves and Tim Crail on my staff. Everybody who's here is kind of waiting for us to vote to send this on to second reading at 15 minutes after 5. Thank you. Thank you for everybody who's been involved. This is going to open things up, and that's what we need. Aye.
Commissioner, I forgot to say one thing, that in Portland, December 7th is now a day that we'll live in famine.
Altman.
No.
Well, first, Commissioner Fritz, thank you for once again leading from the heart, because you have a habit of doing that, and it serves us well. I'm not sure who would win this beer bet, but somewhere between Dan and me, I've led nine campaigns in the city of Portland, all of them successful, and then helped out on a few more, like the second parks bond measure or the gas tax. So I've had a lot of experience with running for office or leading campaigns in this city. And there's some good news and bad news about our body politic. One is that no one in Portland politics is bought and paid for. We have ethical people serving to the best of their ability here in this council and in other local offices. But, of course, the money problem is here, too. The problem, of course, is the arms race of big, expensive candidates that's both a drain on the efforts of people who might need to be doing something else, like the public's business, or who have a life that they're trying to still lead while they're running for their first office. So this is a problem that needs to be addressed. And the current system, if you want to call it that, is a barrier to new candidates. Yes, they occasionally succeed, but it's a rarity, not a normal thing in our politics. So I think this is a reform that will make our city politics healthier. And that passes the Hippocratic Oath of first doing no harm and second making it better. And I do believe that this will do this. I always try to measure twice and cut once. So I called my friend Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York, who's been living in a system like this for a while, and had a good conversation about this with him, and he said yes, that what that system that has been very much a one of the models for this one has done for New York has meant that there is a more robust and open political system that allows new people to get into local leadership and reduces, obviously in a city where there's a great deal of big money, the influence of big money. And so, to me, that was testimony that was very persuasive in addition to the good testimony we've heard here. Very pleased to support this. Aye. And now...
I would like to vote on the amendment.
Okay.
Novick.
Commissioner Saltzman's amendment?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No.
Well, the reason I like to vote these things with two votes is then you can say everything you, or some of the things that you forgot to say before. And in this case, it was when I asked Amalia Alarcon-Demoris, the director of ONI, if she thought that we could work to put the proposal in inside her office. She said, sure, let's work on it. Let's figure out how to get it done. And I really, really appreciate that because it has been challenging. As somebody said, there's actually no particularly perfect place, but for me, having it in ONI is a really good thing. The voters in November 8th supported Measure 26184 by 87%. That was the county's election reform. And that may or may not be constitutional, but it is an absolute indication that spending several hundred thousand dollars putting this on the ballot would be a waste of those several hundred thousand dollars. And we know we're going into a budget where we're going to have to find cuts, and I'm happy that we won't be spending $300,000 or more on a ballot measure question. We did refer the arts tax. I supported that. And as it came to light that the arts tax isn't exactly perfect and has some pretty glaring challenges and inequities in it, I have said, let's vote on the council to change that and make it better. And many on the council, support the majority of the council, said, no, the voters have spoken. We would have to refer it back to the voters. So that's another good reason to do this. This is a well-known system. It will be Portlandized. And the suggestions that Kate Tice has had for making sure that everybody who can legally donate is allowed to do so, even if they're not a registered voter with a signature, I think is one example of that. So the Campaign Commission is going to be looking at things and making it better. If they decide that changes, all of those changes and the initial administrative rules will come to council for a vote. So it'll be modelling being open and accountable. And I will just note that we didn't send the construction excise tax to the voters, and that also is going to raise some money, which I appreciate having for affordable housing. So, no.
Hang on. Saltzman.
Well, again, I think it would be a stronger, better proposal if it were voted on first by our residents. I just think it helps. And I think voters are accustomed to being very discerning about funding, what they choose to fund, what they choose not to fund. As I said, I think there's a lot of ingenuity behind this approach, and I commend Commissioner Fritz for that. But I do feel it would be stronger and withstand the test of time and all sorts of other little challenges that might be out there if it had the seal of approval from Portland voters. So I vote aye.
Yes.
No. Okay, so that comes back for second reading next week. Thank you very much, Commissioner Fritz. And we have a few more items left in our